Chicago sports conversation is now. The Beat on 720 WGN.
Oh, it was in the air for 5.5 seconds, baby. Javi, the bat flip. I thought it was on to Waveland, but it made it to the basket. God bless the basket. You are right, David Ross. I'm Mark Harmon. You're Harry Tynowitz. This is Extended Cubs Pregame and the Beat on 720 WGN. I'm fired up.
What a thrilling time to be a Cubs fan.
Really. I mean, it is, right? You're wearing your Sean Dunston 1993 jersey maybe today. I love you, Harry. You're so good at what you do.
The Cuba one.
Yeah, the Cubs in script, which you think the S is an A. God, it's so great to see this. Well, Dunston got a nice ovation yesterday, you know, special assistant, even though he said he wants a repeat of 1989 when the Giants and Will Clark smoked the Cubs. Yeah. Hey, Sean Dunston, you were on that 89 team. What are you talking about, dude?
What are you talking about? I remember Dunston playing in the World Series for the Giants.
Yeah.
You know, Javi Baez, people don't realize how great an offensive player he is, can be, because he's phenomenal defensively. But he proved last night that the best John Lester defense is the John Lester offense. Javi Baez has to play every day because he can do stuff like that into the teeth of the wind, Mark Carmen.
Yep, yep, yep. That wind was coming in off the lake, out of the left field corner of whatever, left field line, whatever, however you want to call it. It was, again, I thought that ball was long gone. Javi Baez thought that ball was long gone. It had an exit velocity of 107 miles an hour, which is a long gone type of exit velocity, Harry Tynowitz. I know you know that.
Yes, that's like your girlfriend from your old relationship had an exit velocity of
107. Oh, yeah, she did. 209. But, yeah, okay.
Good thing that left the yard, because he was still kind of hovering around home plate, was a Javi Baez.
Yeah, he did a little hover. Hey, a lot on the show today. Just want to get you prepped here. We've got Dan Plesac in 2 minutes. So if we're not enough entertainment for you right now, we're bringing in the former Cub, the three-time All-Star MLB Network analyst, Dan Plesac. Harry Tynowitz, best friend, good friend, average friend. How would you state your relationship with Dan Plesac? I want to know.
We're pretty good buddies. Plesac is one of the greats. You know, he's one of those guys. He's seventh all-time in the history of baseball for appearances by a pitcher. Seventh. All time, and he's one of those guys that doesn't talk down to you. He brings you up to his level, and like Eddie Olczyk, the great Eddie Olczyk, we have that same horse racing gene.
He loves to golf too, Danny Plesac. The big blue train's going to be rolling in about 1 minute. Yeah, and then we're also going to have not Bill Murray, but perhaps just as good,
maybe
right
better.
There.
Maybe better.
There we go.
Bill Murray's like the funniest person in movies, but he's not the funniest person in his family. I've got him third in his family. And Joel Murray, who's a terrifically talented guy, Second City guy. He's been in 100 shows. He's on Shameless. He was in Mad Men. He was on Mike and Molly. He was in the Oscar-winning movie The Artist. The great Joel Murray, who's at a bunch of Cub games, he sang again this year. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock, 5:10.
Let me give props to Joel's brother, Bill, who I was fortunate enough to be sitting behind last night. So Bill Murray, who made a lot of news with the shirt that he wore and whatnot, but I didn't even experience any of that. I was just sitting there in the fifth inning, and here comes Bill Murray walking down the aisle in his Jimmy John's hat. Why are you wearing a Jimmy John's hat? That's so Bill Murray. He sits down in an empty seat on the left side of the aisle. His seat is on the right side of the aisle because Bill Murray did not want to disturb any of the passionate baseball fans. 99% Cub. There maybe could have been a Giant there, too. I want to include them in there. He waited for the play to end, and then Bill Murray scooted back into his seat. Now, this is Bill Murray. He could have that whole, I'm Bill Murray. I'm going to sit down whenever I want. But Bill Murray respected the game, respected the fan, and I really had a moment of massive respect for the great Bill Murray in that moment. It was really nice, and we should all learn from Bill Murray. Do not walk in the middle of the aisle when play is going on. It's not okay in May, and it is certainly not okay in October. If you don't have that down, you do not belong in the park.
Well, there's unfortunately a lot of that going on. I mean, you get a lot of people posing for selfies and taking pictures, but the Blackhawks have the stop sign. They ask fans to wait, but the Cubs, you get a lot of fans getting up in front of you, and you can miss things like a Javi Baez monster home run to win game one.
Exactly, and we can discuss that further, but let's not make this gentleman wait. Dan Plesac, the great former Cubs, Harry just said seventh all-time in appearances. MLB Network tonight starting at 5 o'clock locally. You can see Dan Plesac talk about the big blue train that he made oh so popular. Hey, Dan Plesac, thanks for joining WGN Radio. We appreciate it. How long, in your mind, in your Cub part of your mind, did Javi Baez's home run lay up there in the air before it landed in the basket? Answer would be now.
You know what? When he hit it, I thought it was like 20 rows deep. I thought it was on the Waveland Avenue. Because normally when he hits him with that big swing of his, and when he catches one, like he caught that one last night, I'm thinking, oh, that's gone. And, I mean, it was a basket shot, but what a terrific player he is. I mean, when you think about it, he's moved all over the diamond, and I think that's what makes the Cubs so dangerous. They have a lot of versatile players. But just think about it last night. Johnny Cueto pretty much contained that Cub offense. My biggest fear in game was it is hard to sit around for 5 days. You can play inter-squad games. You can try to duplicate. There is no way you can duplicate, replicate game speed, game pitching, and I think you're going to see a much better Cub team in game two, and I think they're going to be all over Jeff Samardzija in game two. I think there were some nerves last night, and fortunately for the Cubs, Javi Baez came up big when they needed it in the eighth. Lester was fantastic. Lester and Cueto were the story of that game last night. Both of them were really good.
It's just so wonderful to hear your voice. I'm
charged. Oh my gosh, Harry Dinowitz, the one and only.
Oh, no one wanted to face Danny Plesac. You mentioned Samardzija. Six and a half years with the Northsiders. Cubs fans know Samardzija real well. We saw him here about a month ago, and the Cubs beat him. They battered him. He got crushed. An early exit for Jeff Samardzija. But it would be so Cub-like for him to come back and pitch the game of his life. What do you expect from number 29 this evening?
Okay. You know what? This is my take. And Harry, I know this goes back to 84. This goes to 2003. It goes to 07 and 08. Okay. Forget about those demons. Those demons are gone. This is the best Chicago Cub team in your and our lifetime, Harry. It just is. Any way you slice it, dice it. And I thought when they acquired Aroldis Chapman, you thought there could be some issues in the ninth inning. Those issues should be solved. This is a dynamic lineup. They have speed. They have power. They have a different hero every night. Listen, you don't win 100-plus games being just a mediocre team. They're the best team in baseball, and I think they are the heavy favorite, and they should be. And I expect tonight Kyle Hendricks to pitch like he's pitched at home all year long. His home road splits, I get it why Joe Maddon is starting him in game two. I think this is a big game for both teams because I think the Giants feel like if they can get out of here and win game two with Bumgarner going game three, they feel advantage going to their side. And I think the Cubs feel like if they can get this one. Listen, Madison Bumgarner has this October thing, Harry. I'm not sure what it is. I saw him pitch a few times in the month of September, and you know what? He was less than stellar. But the big stage, the cold air in October appeals to this guy. I think this is a big game for both, but I think it's a much bigger game for the Cubs than it is for the Giants.
Wow. I feel you. You do not want to go to San Francisco if you're the Cubs at 1-1 with Bumgarner going in game three. It's a huge one tonight. Dan, please say, you're the only guy that can perhaps answer this. Why? If people were paying attention last night, Anthony Rizzo had to switch out mitts because he was placed for a bunt right by the pitcher's mound. Javi Baez putting on the first base glove. Why in the world? Joe Maddon doesn't understand why this was the case. Have you ever seen that before? Can you explain it to the deep, dark baseball listener who wants to know?
The only thing that I can get out of this is I think if you're Anthony Rizzo, you want a smaller glove, something that you can get the ball out of the glove with, and you can get a quick exchange. They work this play where Anthony Rizzo crashes in, and I'm going to tell you this. I can't for the life of me understand why teams are continuing to bunt when the Cubs put this play on. I mean, if you have a pitcher that at all could swing the bat – you're bunting into a double play because Anthony Rizzo, by the time the ball is delivered, he's basically standing 10 feet from the hitter. And I'm telling you, if I'm the Giants right now and the Cubs try to do this, you have to turn Jeff Samardzija loose and swing the bat because you're basically bunting into a double play. The Cubs have this down for perfection, and then they have another play where they decoy Rizzo coming in, and Baez comes bolting in from second base. Now, he's the only one that can do that because Zobrist isn't fast enough and athletic enough to do that. This Javi Baez is, I'm telling you, he is that good, man. He's legit.
Dan, if he were to play 75 games at second and 75 games at third, could Javi Baez win two separate gold gloves in one year?
I'll say this. He is fun to watch. You know what I like watching about him, Harry? There are some guys that play with energy, guys that play with flair. This guy is just like one of those bundles of energy, man. I mean, you look at his legs. He's light on his feet. He moves quick. He's very animated. He hit that home run last night. I thought that was going on to Waveland Avenue. He just plays the game like at 100 miles an hour, but he does it under control, and that's what's so great about watching this guy. This is a team I really feel. My gut feeling tells me this, Harry. They needed that game last night. They could not replicate taking 5 days off. This game isn't like football where you're used to playing once every 7 days. Baseball, it's day after day. What makes it monotonous, what makes it drive you nuts as a player is what makes it good. It's the everyday routine that you do, whether it's hitting, whether it's throwing, whether it's fielding. And when that gets disrupted, the timing gets off. And I just didn't think the Cubs looked real sharp last night. I really didn't. They got away with that one last night, and I think you're going to see a much better game out of the Cubs in Game 2, and I don't think Samardzija is going to be around for the sixth.
So many of the Cubs pitchers talk about routine. John Lester's a huge routine guy. Arrieta, yeah. The same deal. You can't be in this position in life and not have a solid routine. Dan, who's pitching the eighth inning? That's my biggest concern. Rondon has been miserable since coming off the DL. Pedro Strop's coming off the knee injury. He's been decent, but only four outings. And then you've got young Carl Edwards. What would you do if you were managing this team?
I think Carl Edwards has earned his stripes right now. Listen, I think Joe Maddon tried to get him in the last 2 weeks in as high a leverage situations that you can get. It's hard to put guys in high leverage situations when you have a 17-game lead with 2 weeks to go, right? But you're trying to play those, and I just like his arm. He attacks. He's 95 to 97, good breaking ball. He doesn't look scared. He attacks the strike zone with good stuff. And what we've seen in the postseasons in the last 4 or 5 years, stuff plays, high-velocity plays in October baseball. You want guys that can punch people out, that can get swings and misses. I think the biggest change we've seen in baseball over the last 10 years has been bullpens are deep, and it's hard to score off of teams when you're behind going into the seventh inning. I think the Cubs feel really good, and they have some options from the left-hand side with Travis Wood coming in if he could get a couple of lefties out. I'm thinking right now that Edwards is going to be their go-to guy to start an inning clean. I think you'll see him start the eighth inning if that need be tonight.
And Danny, you mentioned Aroldis Chapman earlier. You know, the only thing that worries me is his control can be bad.
Amen. But Harry, you and me both.
But the bat speed, if you want to hit, and we saw it last night, the first two guys in the ninth inning could have easily walked, but you got to turn that bat speed up. You got to get that bat speed up to, like, you know, Rick Wilkins' bat speed if you want to get on against Aroldis Chapman. So if you want to beat a pitcher, you got to think like a pitcher. How do you get the bat speed up but still be able to hold off when it's, a 3-2 count?
That's why he is what he is. And I agree with you, Harry. He's had a couple of save opportunities that he's converted the last week of the season where it's ball one, ball two, strike one, strike two, ball three. And then, boy, he'll get a swing and a miss at a ball, you know, chest to neck high. Harry, he has something that nobody else in the game does, extreme velocity, 99 to 103 miles an hour. To hit that, you have to get the bat started really quick. You make yourself vulnerable. And the more he can stay at the belt and a little bit above, that pitch looks really inviting to hit, but it's nearly impossible to get on top of and do anything with. I agree with you. I like to see this guy coming in and attacking strike one, strike two, but he is at times his own worst enemy. Very rarely do you see Aroldis Chapman go out and get hit hard. What happens is it's a walk, it's a strikeout, it's another walk, and a two-out base hit in the gap that scores two runs. It's hard to get two or three hits off this guy in one inning.
So, Dan Plesac, on the way out here, your prediction for the series is?
Cubs in three. I think they win big tonight. I think they win 8-2 tonight, and I think I just think that this is a good team. They needed to get off to Schneid last night and win that game. Javi Baez came to the rescue. I think you're going to see Rizzo and Bryant have big nights tonight. They're going to swing the bats. I think they're going to chase Samardzija out, and they'll be ready for Madison Bumgarner in game three.
He's still conducting the big blue train.
Get on board, Harry.
I wish I could cuss.
Oh, I wish I could cuss right now. Dang it.
Hey, 5-7 Central Time. You can hear Dan Plesac on the MLB Network tonight. You should be following him on Twitter as well, at Plesac19. Dan Plesac, you're the best.
You got it, guys. Harry, I'm off to the makeup room right now. I've got to tape a segment in 30 minutes, and I will be on live 5-7 Central Time, MLB Network. I'll be on the pregame show, me, Kevin Millar, and Greg Anzinger talking all things Big Blue Train.
Tell Kevin Millar to cowboy up. Danny, please check in the makeup room. Is that like a four-person job?
Oh, of course it is. Are you kidding me? Yes, it is. Yeah, high-def cameras, Harry. Boy, you wouldn't want to see me without makeup on.
Thank you, Dan Plesac. You're the best.
You got it, guys. Okay, take care.
All right, Dan Plesac joining us to start the show here, 720 WGN. Bears fans, grab a copy of the Chicago Tribune at Jewel Osco this Sunday to collect your 2016 Chicago Bears Fathead Tradables. Say Bears.
Bears.
Thank you. Collect all eight now through October the 30th. Quick timeout. This is Cubs pregame going all the way up to 6:30. We got a ton going on. Props to John Lester after the 3:30 news, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. It is beautiful out there today. Hope you're enjoying it. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz, and we're here till 6:30 in advance of Blackhawks hockey. Postgame tonight after the Hawks are done at 11. And hopefully the Cubs will be up 2-0. I know you feel very confident, Harry.
How can you not feel confident watching this team? This team has everything you want. They have offense. The defense is terrific. The bullpen is greatly improved with the arrival of Aroldis Chapman. And, my God, the starting pitching is fantastic, as Lester was just dominant last night.
Yeah, I want to give John Lester just a lot of credit here. First of all, the guy comes over here, right, $155 million, and you, at least I was wondering, are you sure you want to pay $25-plus million for a guy when, you know, they weren't really in position to do that as far as how they – I mean, they hadn't won anything.
Right, and you know what people talked about with Lester is, you know, he's got the best ERA ever for the World Series. Why are you going to get to the World Series? And his first game against the Cardinals, you know, got to him. They lit him up pretty good. But boy, John Lester has been great this year. The Lester Ross combination is really unbeatable.
I was at the Cubs workout earlier in the week and was talking with Arrieta amongst a couple other media people were there, and he was not in the best mood, which has kind of been similar to how Arias
surly
a little more surly lately too. I think starting game three rather than game one. Not that I'm sure he doesn't feel like he deserves it, but I think there's some part of him, the competitive part, that wants to be that number one guy, views himself as that number one guy, which is cool, by the way. I like that he has that mindset. But so he finally got excited about talking about John Lester and the routine that he has. I forget exactly what the question was, but he's like, "Well, I could talk for days about that." And so Lester coming over here, partly it was for how good he was on the mound in moments like last night, but it's also, I mean, this guy goes about his business every single day the same exact way. His side sessions, his long tosses, his running, his work in the video room. He is a pro's pro. And that, I mean, from a Cub fan standpoint, I just think it makes you feel really comfortable about what he's going to bring.
They have brought some, you know, Jerry Angelo used to always bring up how the Bears wanted to find guys that got it off the field as well as on the field. The Cubs have done that. Theo Epstein has brought over a bunch of guys that are not only very talented, but they understand what goes into the process. And last night when Joe Maddon informed John Lester that 8 innings, that was all. He was done for the evening. Lester was not happy. Lester wanted to, you know, stay in the ballgame and go out there for the 9th inning, but he understood. And you want that competitive spirit in Lester, in Arrieta, and it's just been spectacular to watch. So, of course, Cub fans are confident.
Well, it was interesting that you just brought that up, because I did ask John Lester about, did you want to pitch in the 9th inning last night? So this
Good
was,
question.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Harry. This was Lester after the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I asked Joe. I mean, but it's hard to argue when you got a guy that throws 104 down in the bullpen, you know. And then obviously, you know, Javi picking us up with a big run there. So that's Chappie's inning all day, every day. I said something to him. I knew I was going to lose when he came down there to shake my hand, but I figured I'd try, and I'm just happy we won the game.
And just rewinding it, I mean, Javi was hitting the 7-hole last night, right? And then you had Ross next. He was already taken down. Mm-hmm. Coughlin was on deck. Chapman was already warming up in the pen before Baez hit the home run. So, I mean, Madden was way out in front. If we score here, or I guess if Lester comes up this inning, Chapman 100% is going in the 9th.
Yeah, and like Lester just said, the guy throws 104. You know, you're at home, you got to plan on bringing in Aroldis Chapman, and he can throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool.
Yeah, and he was a little, talking about, you know, Dan Plesac was on with us talking about the Cubs were a little bit off last night. Aroldis Chapman threw a lot of balls out of the zone last night. I mean, that was a heavy...
But he does that all the time, Mark. He's wild all the time. Guys cannot slow the bat down. They've got to, you know, bring that bat speed up a notch to face him. And he gets away where another guy might, you know, have a walk. Chapman gets a strikeout because guys can't stop their swing.
Yeah, well, and they got a huge, huge break last night, right?
Oh, yeah. Should have been a walk.
You're talking about...
Gorky's?
Yeah. Gorky's Hernandez and
good old number 66.
Yeah, which a lot of Cub fans, I'm sure, did not know that name until last night. But there he was, Gorky Hernandezing, and you got
a Gorky Hernandezing.
Yes, all day he was. And first base umpire, who's behind home plate, by the way, tonight, Alan Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Porter missed that one all day. Cubs got a break, and in the history of the postseason of the Cubs getting a break from an umpire, I can't remember that happening.
Bochy did not look happy. The Giants dugout did not look happy. I mean, what a difference. You know, you start the inning with the guy on first, nobody out, you know, or, you know, you can go and be like, you know, oh, man, we got an out already. The Cubs are in position to succeed because they've got a game plan. Theo came here and said 5 years. All right? Here we are on the cusp of immortality. What's happening on the north side, Mark, they're going to remember, they could remember this for generations to come. And the one thing that was missing was the confidence in the back end of the bullpen. Really, the entire bullpen, but the back end. Now you've got 54 coming out there.
I'm still worried about the 8th inning. You can tell me all you want about C.J. Edwards, Carl Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
He's never been there before. He's also had some trouble at times finding the strike. So now he's been phenomenal all season long. He's had 36 appearances out of the pen. 3 times he has not pitched well. 3 out of 36 is very well.
Not too shabby.
But 2 of those 3 have been in the last 7 games. Now, granted, the season was winding down, but I do wonder about a young guy in fatigue. I also wonder about a young guy with pressure. And then you need more than that. Rondon's been bad.
Well, but Rondon's also been a closer. You know, Rondon, if he's healthy, is going to be tough to hit. You know, Carl Edwards Jr., I worry that he's not eating enough. You know, I think he and Chris Sale have the same dietitian. Just don't eat anything. You know, wait till Saturday and eat on Saturday. But, you know, Rondon should be pretty good. Were you surprised at all by the roster? They left Trevor Cahill off the roster. And Joe Smith, who has been as hot as any of the Cubs' pitchers coming out of the bullpen. Plus, he gives you a quirky kind of different motion. Were you surprised that they were left off?
I was. Not necessarily those two, but I was surprised definitely by Albert Almora Jr. over Matt Caesar.
That was the shocker, because Caesar has established himself as the best pinch hitter on the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. You know, Hamill was a guarantee that he wasn't going to be on once the elbow came along, and he probably wouldn't have been on anyway. So it would have been a stunner if they had said, you know what, Hector Rondon, 3 of the last 4 outings, you've been absolutely miserable. You haven't looked healthy. We're not going to keep you on the roster because we're keeping Joe Smith. That would have been a huge stunner. I would not have seen that coming. But, I mean, this is where you put your trust in Joe Madden, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's a great feeling. Hey, We got to take a quick time out, but coming back here, John Lester did say one thing last night that I heavily disagreed with. So we're gonna quibble with John Lester coming back here. 720 WGN. The great Harry Tynowitz in studio. I'm the slightly below average Mark Harmon. That's too self-deprecating. That's not nice. I should be nicer to myself, Harry. What do you think?
Come on. You're a great slouch.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Hey, all right. So this is what John Lester said last night after the ball game about the atmosphere at Wrigley Field.
That's what makes it fun for us, you know, as players. You know, you show up, you grind it out. It's a long season, and these fans have been, you know, since I've been here, they've been here since day one. You know, it's been unbelievable to kind of grow with them as we've gone through this journey the last 2 years. So the atmosphere tonight was unbelievable from, like I said, from the time I stepped on the field till the end of the game. You know, just a lot of fun. But, yeah, I mean, this is what you play for. It's October.
So, okay, admittedly, I did Cubs pregame last night over on the station, and then I went over there. So I wasn't there for the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got there in the second inning, until Javi Baez hit the home run in the eighth, I thought the crowd generally sucked. There's a word.
Sucked?
Very average.
How much of that was they were nervous?
Right.
Because instead of getting a 5-run lead in the first inning, it was nothing up. And the Cubs had 2 hits until Javi Baez went yard.
Exactly my point. I agree. The crowd was nervous. And I think, listen, can we, here, pull up Kerry Wood too, would you, Dan? See, I don't think that the crowd being nervous is good for the team. The crowd should be into, you know what, we are a great baseball team, and I'm going to be, listen, when there is 2 strikes on a batter and the Giants have somebody on base, or even before that, I expect the crowd to realize the situation and be into it. Now, I just didn't see it enough last night. 312-981-7200. Feel free to come along. If you were in the park, if you were at home, 312-981-7200. I didn't think Cubs fans did their job last night.
You were at the park, but I will say Cubs fans are the best in baseball. Cubs fans, you know, have also, you got to remember where Cubs fans come from. And you know this, Mark. You're a lifelong Cubs fan.
I am.
You know, when you're waiting for, you know, when you're waiting for something for so long, you know, it's like, will this day ever come? Will this ever happen? And after a season where, really, since like right before the All-Star break, this season has not been in doubt. You know, last night was in doubt. Last night was scary as hell. And then you're thinking about, oh, my God, we got to go there. And who knows what could happen. So I just think the fans were nervous. But Cubs fans are as great as any fans in any sport.
I'm not taking anything away from the great Cub fan, the passionate Cub fan, the Cub fan that continues to show up after year after year after year after year and you know, buy the garb, live the dream, the whole deal. I'm not trying to do anything there.
Saying last night.
But I'm saying that this whole fear thing that's going on with the Cub fan, it's time to put it to bed. It's time to, in a nothing-nothing game or a 1-0 game if they're trailing, it's to hang in there and actually do your part and provide the team some energy, some confidence.
Easier said than done. Telling Cub fans not to fear.
Well, you know what? Hey, I'm not saying don't fear. Okay.
Right.
Fear is real. It's going to be there the entire postseason. We're all going to be terrified that it's going to go the wrong way. But how do you engage in your fear, Harry? Do you run from it? Do you hide in your seat? Are you bundled up because you're all afraid something bad's going to happen? Or do you, let's get a little engagement. Come on, Lester. Let's go. I mean, you know, there's something to this, by the way, that I believe. Hey, Dave, you were in the bleachers. 312-981-7200. What's up, Dave?
Well, I'm a little bit hoarse because I kind of threw my voice out last night.
Good job, Dave.
When Bias hit at home run. But I can tell you that the atmosphere was absolutely electric in the outfield. I will say that the first 2 or 3 innings, they were a little bit quiet. I went into the bathroom, and someone said, Cueto's pitching a perfect game. And I said, it's 0-0. We're playing a hell of a game. Lester's also only gave up 3 hits. We're going to win this game. And it was like we willed that victory. There was no way that we were scared. Every inning was mounting excitement. I don't think it was like we were quiet or relaxed. It was just crescendoing. There was momentum building, and we knew it.
on a second, Dave. Are you, your contention here is that the Cub fan last night was not scared and was confident the whole way, really?
We were. I was sitting, we were, yes.
Okay. Hey, Dave, are you going tonight?
Actually, I'm going to watch it from a bar.
Okay. Well, Dave, you're a great fan. I want you in the park as much as you can be there, so please attend it if you can afford it.
Thank you.
You know, my dad was bitten by a dog when he was a kid, so he's always hated dogs.
Yeah.
All right? Cubs fans essentially have been bitten by a dog time and time and time and time again. So I'm not saying Cubs fans are scared. I'm just saying that if you're a Cub fan, it's in your blood. It's part of our nature as a Cubs fan to wait for the other clay to fall.
Listen, the team is undergoing a transformation. The Cub fan needs to undergo a transformation. I think it's very important. I think we are a part of it. Kerry Wood talked about it yesterday on the Rokan show. If you are on hold, we'll get to you after news. If you were there watching, just curious what the opinion of was of the fan last night. 312-981-7200. Quick timeout. News is next. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here.
Tuesday.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Mike Dick in the park last night.
Yeah, wearing a Chris Bryant jersey.
Yeah, I don't exactly know how I feel about all that, but just for a statement of fact, Mike Dick was in the park last night.
So you've taken on the Cub crowd from last night. Now you want to take on the coach.
The coach has been a little bit off for about...
Hey, Ditka.
Okay. Just stop talking and you're fine. Speaking is not a great mode for Mike these days. Hey, okay. Let me just play you... Because we're talking about the atmosphere last night. Some people are getting a little testy on the text line, and we have some calls who want to defend Cub fans, which is cool. And by the way, for those attacking whether or not I'm a fan, the first time I ever went to a game, they lost to the Montreal Expos 2-0. I don't know what year it was. It was probably 1981, okay?
Steve Rogers on the hill that day for the Spos?
Sure. Probably was. I seem to remember a Tim Wallach, perhaps, maybe.
Oh, he's right after Schmidt, I'd say he's the second biggest Cub killer, maybe third if you include Garvey.
Maybe the all-time greatest Expo if you actually go through Expos and what they actually contributed to the Montreal Expos.
Sure, Rock Reigns.
Yep, Rock Reigns is in there, sure, absolutely. The Expos were great back then, and the Cubs never won a game in Olympic Stadium by my memory. That place was very tough to play in. I think their win percentage was like 350 there. But so... And I worked at the park for 14 plus whatever.
Beer man.
Yeah. So listen, I don't. If you can tag me for a lot of things. Don't tell me that I'm not a good fan. I have high expectations for how people act in the playoffs when it matters the most and being super engaged. And I thought that last night was average. This was Kerry Wood. I asked him about this yesterday because I was doing sports for Kevin Powell on the Rokan show. I said, you know, does this crowd thing matter?
Hey, Woody, paranoid Cub fan Mark Harmon here.
See, everyone around me, Kerry.
Well, I want to go back to 08, division-winning team. You had 34 saves, had a phenomenal year.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, that was the last time they won the division, and James Loney hits a grand slam in game one. The crowd goes silent. I thought the energy in the park actually had an effect on the team. Like, can the crowd make any difference here whatsoever? I think we need positive energy, Woody, if things go wrong at the start.
You couldn't be more correct, and you're 100% right. I think the energy, you feel it at home. When it happens, you don't necessarily feed off of it, but you're like, uh-oh, we lost our fan. We lost them tonight. We got to try to get them back into the game. But yeah, there's a huge positive versus negative effect on the energy level in a stadium, and let's stay positive, Cubs fans, all the way through it, no matter what happens. We got a great team.
Thank you. It matters, man.
But you're not saying that the energy was negative last night. You're just saying that the crowd was not as boisterous as you expected.
Right. I want more positive flow. I don't think he was blowing smoke right there. I think he meant what he said.
I think he meant what he said. But, I mean, you're talking about a fan base that has been kicked in the nads time and time again. And although the media says and people in the front office say, hey, this is a new team. Forget about what's happened in the past. It's hard for Cub fans just to say, okay, I let everything go. We are the most confident lot. Cubs fans are incredibly confident. Look at this team. They got everything.
Kerry, I think you can relate to this. I know I can relate to this. I think that everybody can. It's not how many times you get knocked down in life. It's how quickly you get back up. I don't care about how many times Cub fans have been knocked down.
I get knocked down.
Yes. Get me some Chubba Tumping or whatever that song is.
Chubba Wubba?
Chubba Wubba. Yes. Let's get that rolling after we hear from Mike, who's been waiting the longest and wants to defend the atmosphere. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. I was at the NBA by
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
I believe I was pranked.
That's yes. Okay. That's okay. Don't
that's
worry.
All right.
That's...
The Carm Daycare Center has closed for the day.
Yeah, but that's cool. Young Cub fan. Appreciate young Cub fans. Hey, Joe, what do you think about the atmosphere last night? 312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
This is for Joe?
Yes.
Hey, I got to tell you, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Thank you, Joe.
I absolutely learned to hate the New York Mets when I lived there in the 80s with those fans. I'm telling you, the way they act with every pitch, everybody is up on their feet. You saw it the other night during the game. When things are going bad, they're still up yelling and screaming. I believe I'm totally with you. I believe that a negative energy is there when things go bad, and we got to learn to keep it positive.
Joe, there's not a negative energy. There's not a negative energy. It is a very, very positive energy, but it's simply a fan base that is aware of what's happened.
I get it. You know, I was at a wedding in 84 when the Cubs got beat by the Padres. You want to talk about a negative energy bringing down a wedding reception.
How do you know the wedding? How do you know the couple that got married wasn't bringing down the Cubs?
You're right. It might have been them. I have no idea. But I'm telling you, it's got to stay positive at the field. It's got to stay positive.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, it's incredibly positive. You know, I mean, the Cubs fans, who travels better than Cub fans?
That's true.
They're incredibly positive. They back their support with their money.
Oh, it feels so good. Okay, Harry.
There you go.
If they go down 4-0 tonight, keep it rolling.
Joe Panic?
Yeah, don't Joe Panic. Just hang in there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco Giants have a runner on base, mm-hmm. and there's two strikes in the batter. I expect the entire park to be on their feet. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong on that. Is that too much to ask?
I don't know if they need to be on their feet, but I mean, the Cubs fans have been spectacular all year.
Okay.
Last night, there was a nervous energy. Okay, there was not a bad fan base. That was not a bad crowd.
It was quiet in there.
It was a nervous energy. And why wouldn't you be nervous when you've seen it happen before in a year ago? 08, 07, 03, 98, 89, 84.
You forgot 15. I don't.
I say a year ago.
Oh, you did. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's not logical to be nervous.
Right.
I'm just saying you gotta fight through the nerve. I'm asking a lot. I get it. I'm asking a lot.
I think Cubs fans are incredibly supportive. I think, you know, and you heard it from John Lester. John Lester said.
He did.
You heard it on Ro Khan's show yesterday. John Lester said these fans have been great. He called it a 2-year journey because this is his second year here. But it's been a lifetime journey for us Cubs fans. And Cubs fans have never been more confident than they are right now.
312-981-7200. Ray wants to blame the media. That's cool. What's up, Ray?
Yeah, listen, I'm upset about a couple of things. I'm upset about everybody talking about negative. So what? Did the Pirates have a pass, a bad pass? What about what's happening to Texas? What about some of the other teams? Everybody has had a bad pass. I happen to be a surgeon. I don't need anybody to be cheering, waiting for me to do the surgery, right? Because I'm a professional. And I expect the ball players to be professionals and fundamentally sound. They have a great team. They have a great manager. They have great coaching. They have great pitching. And let's go and let's see how things happen and who turns out to be the victory at the end. It's all about the fun you're having and how much of a professional you are. I really am upset about all the media talking about all this. Forget the past. It doesn't matter. What matters is we have a good team. We have to be enthusiastic with them. And where the people are nervous, that's because you guys in the media keep complaining
right.
about it and bringing the past up.
Right.
So why don't we talk about how to rip their throats out and make sure that we continue winning game after game?
Okay, Young Ray, let's have a discussion. Harry wants to talk to you. Go ahead.
Ray, have you ever had something go wrong in surgery that has cost...
Yeah, and do you think I panic?
No,
what
but...
What happens if I panic if I'm in surgery?
But I mean, no, you've never lost, you know, God
no,
for...
No, I haven't. No, I haven't because I find a way to win.
Okay, well...
Right for the patient.
Unfortunately, so, no. Unfortunately, Ray, Cubs fans have seen a lot of seasons
no,
die.
I have been a Cubs fan since 1972. I saw them beat up in 84 when they grew a ball to Steve Garvey.
Oh, don't bring up Steve Garvey. Don't bring up the man's name.
It was, okay, well, the point is, it was a bad pitch.
It was.
It was somebody who messed up. And in 2003, it was a bad team. There were a lot of errors after what happened. So don't blame anybody for it because it's not supposed to be.
But for the Cubs fans, but look, but Ray, in 84 and again in 2003, those were two teams the Cubs, especially in 84, those were two teams Cubs fans were so confident about. And
I know, but they had no defense. The defense was not as good as we have.
Ray, you're being a little Trump-like now. You're interrupting. And I listen
yes,
to you. Okay, so here's my point, is the Cubs fans, when you know, I hate to compare a baseball team season ending to a patient dying on the operating table. But when a
exactly.
Cubs sees, when a Cubs sees, Ray, you're being Trump again.
Ray, you're going to have your chance. You're going to have one more chance to respond, Ray.
Okay.
Hang on, Ray.
Pull back on the orange. Pull back on the fluffy hair, buddy, okay?
Go ahead.
Cubs fans have seen seasons end. They've seen dreams die in October. And last night, when you can't get a hit off of Johnny Cueto and you've only got two hits in the game, you can understand why Cubs fans would be a little bit nervous. There was a nervous energy going through the crowd because we've seen time and again just despair and greatness, you know, is taken over by despair. And so Cubs fans were not a bad crowd last night. They were just, you know, a fearful crowd that it was going to happen again.
I think you need to, Ray, thank you very much for the call. I think you need to look at where you allow excuses for other people in your life where they don't come to what you expect. I think you're providing excuses for the Cub fan, or you understand their plight and you're giving them excuses, which is beautiful, and you're a caring guy, and I hear
uh-huh.
that. But I want you to think about that as we take quick time. We'll take more calls here. If you have one thought that you need to get out here, I don't want to stop you from
it. I'm just saying, I've been in stadiums for all different sports
mm-hmm.
on the road, and they use that crowd thing. And
yeah,
I'm
it's nauseating.
Not a fan when the Bulls used to use it.
Yeah.
You know, Miami Heat, during the breaks, the announcer tells the Heat fans, stand!
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Right. You don't have to tell Cub fans that.
Yeah, good job, Tom Ricketts. Don't do that. Don't ever allow that to happen. We don't need the noise-o-meter on that. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Harry's got a story to tell. It's the Beat, 720 WGN. Blackhawks hockey, Judd Sirai with the pregame. 6:30 tonight, Blackhawks and the Blues. And then after the Hawks tonight at 11, we'll have our True Blue Cubs postgame show, 11 till midnight. A big day of sports on WGN. Harry's got a story to tell from game one when James Loney hit the Grand Slam. You wanted to hold it through the break, and I want to hear it.
You asked me if I was at that game, you know, what the crowd was like and if I was at that game. And I was at that game, and I left, and I was so mad at the world. I was ticked off. I was despondent. And there, even though the Cubs had lost and they were off on the wrong cleat, there was a guy standing there using the opportunity as a photo op, I saw him literally kiss a baby. And you know what's frustrating is it's 10 o'clock at night and there's someone that's brought their baby to the game and you're letting Rod Blagojevich kiss your baby. Blago taking photos after the Cubs had lost that game. You know,
I feel better.
I guess you got what you deserve.
Oof, oof. I was sitting right down for me last night was the mayor. Good old Rahm was in the rows, which was completely utterly incredible. I actually, in Rahm, when they won last night, to the mayor's credit, he went nuts.
Dude,
he was like totally into it. So that was, I'm like, whoa, mayor, that like looks legit. Like you're not just here because you're the mayor. You actually are a Cub fan.
Oh, and I think, and obviously Ron was part of Obama's team. This is a time for politicians that, you know, to be into sports, to be full blown sports. First thing Obama did, right, was change the bowling alley into a basketball court. You got to like that.
It's the best, one of the best moves of his presidency, and I mean that as a guy who supports Barack Obama.
If you were president, you would change it into a tennis court.
Oh, my God. I'd have clay. I'd have grass. I'd have a hard-true court all at the White House. I'd have a full hoop court. I'd have probably an extra shooting bucket, and then I'd have a batting cage for my 12-inch softball league that I'd still be playing on two nights a week. All that would be going on. Hey, Andrew, I think you got a great point on the crowd last night. Welcome to WGN.
Hello, how are you?
We're great, Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Mark, maybe because you missed the first couple innings, but man, oh, man, David Rossi was on his game from the moment of the introductions. We were standing, cheered, and then that when he thought he was going to bunt and then steal, boom, Rossi takes him out. And second, we were ready. The next inning, same thing. Leadoff guy gets on. David Rossi was ready. He was standing towards the outside of the box. He gunned him down. We were cheering. That was just electric. It just shut the Giants down on their game. The third inning, we get on again. Second and third, the crowd was going crazy. We just shut the Giants down. Then we had this big Lester plan. Not with Rossi, bam, we just took him out. It was a great crowd.
All right, Andrew, appreciate you. I was there for pickoff number two, and I was there for second and third and the ground out weekly to Addison Russell. And yes, when things went great, when Javi hit the bomb, place went berserk. I'm talking about having a nice, solid energy when things are in the balance. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, I'll put Cubs fans up against, you know, anybody. I know that I saw a lot of people clenching the towels, watching Cleveland fans. They were all, you know, waving the towels. I saw a lot of Cubs fans clenching the towels. But Cubs fans are great. They lead the majors in supporting the team, traveling. No one has more visiting fans with them on the road than the Cubs. And you just heard John Lester talk about how the Cubs fans have been with the Cubs. Madden talks about it. You know, Theo talks about it. Jed talks about it.
I had forgotten that Lester did not pitch in a home game last year. So last night was his first home
playoff game. Yeah.
First home playoff game, right. He's driving down Clark. People are yelling at him. He's just, I mean, what a cool moment, right?
Yeah, he's been through Fenway, obviously.
Yeah, no, listen, the guy, he was sold on you're going to be on the mound when the Chicago Cubs finally end whatever year drought it will be at that point. That was brilliant salesmanship by Theo Epstein, who should be running the world. Hey, Marlene, you want to defend the crowd too? Go ahead, Marlene.
I absolutely do. I'm a 68-year-old woman who was there with three men who are older than I am. We stood, I'd say from the second inning on, we stood the entire time. I'm in section 209, and everybody, if we didn't stand, we wouldn't have been able to see. There was energy, there was fun, there was screaming, and we never had any doubts that we would have won.
Wait, hold on a second, Marlene. Because I was around your area. You're saying that in the sea of people sitting down, there was Marlene and three men standing the whole way?
No, there was the three of us had to stand because everybody below us was standing.
Are you going to the game tonight, Marlene?
No.
Are you calling Marlene a liar?
I think Marlene is having some revisionist history here. I do. I think she stood at points.
Yes.
I believe that Marlene stood at points. Marlene, You're a great fan, and I support you, Marlene, but I think that there's just a little bit in the story that's missing here. That's all I'm saying.
Oh! Paul is being a liar? Boy.
I know.
Marlene, you stick by your guns, Marlene. I believe you.
Marlene, if I had an extra ticket tonight, or any ticket for that matter, I would take you, Marlene, so we could stand together. Is that...
Okay. That would have been great.
Okay.
I would have dumped my husband for you anytime.
Oh, cuckoo, ca-choo, Mrs. Robinson.
Thank you, Marlene.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, that's Marlene. Marlene claims she was standing the whole time. I love Marlene. All right.
I love the Marlene that works here.
Marlene that works here. Marlene Wells?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves Marlene Wells. So, all right, quick timeout. News is next, and the Cubs pregame rolls on 720 WGN.
We've worked on things all year long. You just try to combat what the opposition's doing, and, you know, we have a lot of good athletes that can move around and play different positions and have been all year. And so when you got a guy like Javi that can do so many things, it's nice that we, Joe can put him in certain situations, and I feel really comfortable throwing the ball to a lot of these guys around the infield. They've picked me up all year. I've had some crappy throws, and they picked me up all year, so it's nice to be have the freedom to let it eat.
Grandpa Rossi, David Ross, one of the many Cub heroes, by far the most popular backup catcher in the history of the Cubs. Maybe in the history of Major League Baseball. And I say backup catcher because technically that's correct, but he is so in the middle of this team, and he's going to be extremely missed next year. 39 years old, David Ross. They don't win the game last night without David Ross. There's no doubt that the caught stealing and the pickoff at first had a huge impact on the game. Huge impact, Harry.
Well, he's been that good all year. I mean, he's Mr. Defense. He's the cannon. He's the arm. He guides John Lester. We, you know, we've had guys that have had their own catcher, their own valet. This is a great combination, the way Ross works with Lester. And, you know, Ross seems to have his best games when Lester's pitching.
I figured out, by the way, why Jason Hayward is in the lineup tonight.
Because he's great against Marja?
That's not it. The actual reason is in a group text. This is courtesy of Jesse Rogers, doing a great job covering the Cubs all season long. In a group text, which a Cubs coach sends out to the players telling them the lineup, Jason Hayward responded he was bringing Chick-fil-A in for the team today.
Oh.
So this is what he does. He's bringing in he's bringing in the Chick-fil-A. I'm assuming that's the original chicken and not the spicy sandwich. I mean, both are excellent.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of the you know, with Chick-fil-A, normally I prefer the grilled, but with Chick-fil-A, I like the breaded.
No, you got to go breaded Chick-fil-A all
day. Yes, right, and lots of ketchup.
And a good pickle.
And Chick-fil-A, I believe they're, I think the ownership is Mormon, which is why they are not open on Sunday.
Right.
Right, and my neighbors growing up, the Vandegrafts, great people, the Vandegrafts. You know, Sundays were a special day. Remember the owner of the Utah Jazz didn't go to the Bulls Jazz game because it was Sunday.
Larry Miller, is that who it was?
Larry Miller, yeah. Right. Not the comedian Larry Miller.
Right. And we Chick-fil-A has some viewpoints that a lot of people do not agree with, but this chicken sandwich is so good.
It's a tasty one. You know, have you ever thought of a playoff team starting three different catchers in the first three different games of a series?
It is interesting, right? You think Montero's probably going to start game three with Arrieta, and tonight it's Wilson Contreras. I'm excited for Contreras. I think outside of Bryant, who is the king of the world, and you can't, it's like impossible to say anything bad about Chris Bryant. Great guy, great player, plays every position, super likable, has his dad throw batting practice to him for
derby.
The home run. I mean, I just love him. But Wilson Contreras is a guy that kind of my off-the-beaten-path cubby that I'm identifying with. I love Contreras.
Well, I can see why you would. I mean, he brings an energy. You know, Javi Baez is my favorite player of the team. Wilson Contreras pitching, what's he going to do after every pitch that isn't swung on tonight?
Fire it back to the pitcher at 1,000 miles an hour?
He's going to appeal it to first. He, you know, if it's a lefty, he'll appeal it to the third base umpire.
Is that what he does?
He appeals every... God love Wilson Contreras with two L's. Imagine how good he'd be if he had three L's. Wilson Contreras appeals every pitch that a batter takes. Watch tonight, you'll see.
I'll pay attention. Hey, Vic, you want to talk Contreras? 312-981-7200. You don't want him behind the plate tonight there, Vic?
I just question a move.
Why?
A rookie in a critical game.
Yeah. So who would you start, Ross?
Rossi, for
right.
Sure.
Okay. I get it. I mean, people love the experience, but you know, Wilson Contreras could hit a 3-run bomb tonight off of Jeff Samardzija, which I guess David Ross has an outside shot of doing that too with 10 home runs. But It's a way better offensive bat. He's also got a much – he's got a great throwing arm, Vic. I mean, let's not underrate his defense, too. He is – you are right about the experience, obviously, but this is a guy that's better behind the plate than Ross, too.
Calling a game?
No, not calling a game. Certainly not at calling a game, but he will go over, you know, with Kyle Hendricks the plan tonight, and they'll execute that plan. He is the most talented catcher the Cubs have. And he is the best offensive weapon the Cubs have.
And he works his butt off, Vic. I mean, he is very much in rapport with Kyle Hendricks and the other pitchers. He's worked very hard on. He's going to know the game plan. I don't think you need to sweat Wilson Contreras back there. Hopefully he'll have a big moment at the plate as well.
I hope so.
All right. Vic, do you feel better?
Yeah, you know, now you made me feel better. Okay,
good. That's
hey, Harry will always have Milwaukee, Harry.
What happened in Milwaukee?
Yeah, what happened in Milwaukee, Vic?
Well, I was at Milwaukee, Harry. See you later.
Okay.
See ya.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I've been to Milwaukee a bunch.
I love Milwaukee. Love Miller Park.
Milwaukee's one of my favorite suburbs of Chicago.
Yeah, it's a great northern burb.
I love Milwaukee. Used to work the Comedy Cafe up there.
Great nacho at Miller Park on the first base side. Actually, I'm sorry, the third base side.
Miller Park's got some fine dining.
Yeah, and, you know, a little Major Goolsby's pre-Bucks game.
Yeah, you know.
Double cheeseburger.
The neat thing about Miller Park is if you go to that stadium with the roof open and then go with the roof closed, it's like you're at two different stadiums.
That's true, too. But have you ever been there when they close the roof or when they open and they play that Space Odyssey, whatever.
2001. Yeah. No, I've not been there at that moment.
It's a cool moment.
I bet it's cool. What a great choice.
Yeah, maybe if we go up next season and we ask them to do it, they'll do it for me and you.
Oh, that would be cool. What else do you want to do next season?
Whatever you want. I mean, I'm in. Jeff Samardzija, Kyle Hendricks. Samardzija, 12-1, 3-8-1. Hendricks, 16-8, 2-1-3. Samardzija did throw more innings this year, 203 to 190. Whip, Samardzija, 1.2 walks and hits per inning for those learning the game, which is cool. Hendricks, under one, which is ridiculous, 0.98.
It's ridiculous. Samardzija, 6.5 years with the Cubs, 31-42. They weren't always great Cub teams. He had a lot of games where he pitched good enough to win, and he didn't win. So I think if you're talking about Samardzija, it's unfair to bring up his one-loss record as a Cub because he did not get a lot of offensive support. His ERA, under 4, 3.97.
Yeah, Jeff Samardzija was a good pitcher here. I actually didn't want the Cubs to trade Jeff Samardzija. I thought, who in the world's going to pitch for this team?
And Addison Russell showed up when you traded Jeff Samardzija.
Yeah, and Theo just looked at me and didn't look at me, obviously. But Theo, that's where I was like, okay, fine. I trust you in everything you do. No Jeff Samardzija, your best pitcher when you had no pitchers in the minors.
Right. Well, they made him an offer. They made him a pretty attractive offer.
Which is about exactly what he got from the Giants. Like
He got $90 million from the Giants.
And I think the Cubs offered him $85 million.
Yeah.
Which I think you can probably live on both $85-$90.
What's the difference?
You know, quality of life there is probably...
What are you going to say for, I'm not taking $85, I'm taking $90. Well, what are you going to say there? Well, you know, I guess I'll do two less weeks in the, in the south of France in my own private house.
Right. I mean, I think, like, if you go to breakfast and you've got 85 or 90 and you want orange juice and coffee, and let's say, like, the omelet comes with a bagel, you might and the cream cheese is extra, you might, on the 90, you might say yes to the cream cheese and pay that extra buck versus at the 85, you might say no.
At the 85, you have your own omelet chef. Who are you kidding?
That's true. If Jeff Samardzija could do it over again, I think he takes that contract all day, just for the record.
He's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he grew up in Northwest Indiana. He went to Notre Dame. Everybody knows that. He's a Chicago guy. Does he really want to be? I mean, what these guys are doing with the Cubs right now, they're pulling the sword out of the stone.
They really are. It would be interesting to ask Theo privately and get an honest answer. If you could go back in time and Jeff Samardzija signs that deal and you don't have Addison Russell, would you do it? I'm guessing you would say no.
Well, you'd say no. You would have Javi Baez at short, but
you would.
You know, Addison Russell's been spectacular.
Hey, we apologize for not getting to where you can watch the Cub game tonight. We're going to do that next because it is...
I blame myself.
If you don't know where to watch, we'll help you. 312-981-7200. If you can't figure out your cable system, if you're like my brother who called me up this morning and say, hey, how come the Cubs are not on TV anymore in the playoffs?
What?
He couldn't find Fox Sports 1. Now, my brother's a little bit older and not the most technologically talented guy.
So I'm guessing he's the good-looking one in the family.
He's a hot, hot man. But he called me up today, and I felt terrible. I'm like, Dave, reach out to the Cub fans in your life, and we would have helped you out. But he legit thought it wasn't on.
Dave Kerman,
yeah.
If you had a son, would you name it, or a woman, or a daughter, would you name it Kerman?
There was once a woman who sat behind me at Bulls games whose name was Carmen, and she was beautiful, and I always imagined that I would marry her and and she would be Carmen. That was my dream.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was great watching Michael, but turning around and seeing Carmen,
mm-hmm.
That was nice.
You and Kim Kardashian were the only people at the game imagining what it would be like to be married to an NBA player.
That's kind of true. All right, it's a sad fact. Hey, Harry, nursing home negligence is a serious problem. A neglect of elderly residents happens when nursing homes are understaffed. Nursing home negligence includes medication errors, malnutrition and dehydration, falls, pressure sores, and failing to follow doctor's orders. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, you can call Konasek and Dillon. The law firm of Konasek and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Konasek and Dillon understands that turning the care of a loved one over to a nursing home or professional caregiver, that is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved ones in return. Protect your loved ones. Call the offices of Konasek and Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Konasek and Dillon, 630-262-9655. Who do we have after 5 o'clock, Harry?
We have the great Joel Murray.
Wow.
Joel Murray, of course, a local boy made great, star of Second City. He's been he's on Shameless, Mad Men. He was in the movie... the Oscar-winning movie from 2011, The Artist. And it's just funny as hell. He's saying Take Me Out to the Ball Game this year. So Joel Murray's in San Francisco, and he'll join us at 5:10.
Kevin Powell, Sam Panionovic, I believe, are both out of the park as well, so we might check in and see what's going on over at Wrigley. Jeff
nice.
Passan from Yahoo will be here at 6:10. Outstanding baseball writer. So a lot to do. Taking up to Blackhawks pregame on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, great to be with you on this Saturday afternoon ahead of the Cubs and the Giants, game two of your National League Division Series. Text line coming in here, 312-981-7200. Samardzija is now Russell, major swindle. Makes me think about tonight, right? When Addison Russell steps up to the plate, and there he's staring out at the guy who he was traded for. That's kind of a cool moment.
Addison Russell, anything could happen, but Addison Russell is going to be, here for 10 years. He's going to be great. What a break. And I was a big Jeff Samardzija fan. I'm still a Jeff Samardzija fan, but I just prefer having Addison Russell instead of Samardzija.
Think about how this could pay off for the Cubs tonight. You didn't sign Samardzija. Mm-hmm. You traded him for Russell. Now you get to face him in the playoffs, and it may go the other way, and Samardzija pitches great. But you may smoke Samardzija tonight, get the second win of hopefully 11, and you move out to San Francisco with a 2-0 lead. I mean, that's possible.
That'd be so great.
I mean, how beautiful is that?
That would be so great. You got Mad Bum going in game 3, but we got Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, we do. Tonight's game's huge. Don't want to be 1-1. Hey, Harry, what cable system do you have? Do you know that the game tonight is on the MLB Network?
I'm a big fan of the MLB. Now, in my house, the MLB Network comes in on DirecTV on channel 213.
Yeah, you're a DirecTV guy,
mm-hmm.
So I can relate.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some people out there that don't know where to find the game tonight because it's on MLB Network. Know this. If you're not keyed in, you need to have your panic now, and if you have the internet, which is a thing that you should have by now in your life, no matter what your age is, there is instructions all over the place on where you can find the MLB Network, which is a premium channel but is being made free tonight, so Cub fans in Chicago can watch it. Now, do you know who's getting completely, for lack of a better word, screwed tonight?
Please say it's me.
Well, I don't know. It's a possibility. I'm rooting for you, Harry, for sure. So if you went to my alma mater and still live there, the University of Iowa,
uh-huh. Tell me, Iowa City's not getting the Cubs?
Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, the Quad Cities, Illinois-Iowa border. If you've got Mediacom, sucks for you, because they do not offer the MLB Network, period.
What?
Yep. So if you're in Iowa tonight.
How do you have the MLB Network? It's great. It's so great.
Well,
All year the baseball coverage is great. Danny Plesac's there, and they do the live cut-ins for all these different games.
I feel terrible for the people in Iowa. I mean, there's a ton of diehard Cub fans in Iowa.
Yeah, there are. The AAA team's been there forever.
Right. So you're sitting there hanging in Iowa. Des Moines, Iowa, the home of the AAA Cubs. Good point,
Harry. So you got to go to a bar.
Yeah, but okay, so then
The bars have a dish.
The bars have a dish and you can get it. Okay, fine.
Well, go to a buddy's house that has a dish.
Yeah, but people, this isn't right. That's,
no, it's
this
not
about,
right.
It's just not right.
And you know, it's my dad called me last night prior to the game, and my dad is still rocking at 90. God bless him, knock on wood. He's used to baseball is being on one channel. He's like, well, what channel are the Cubs on tonight?
9.
But I don't get like how people, you know, other people don't know like where they are.
Right. Fox Sports 1, I may have never watched that channel in my life.
Oh, come on. You've watched Fox Sports
1. Of course, I have.
Right.
But the standard person.
Your brother Dave.
My brother Dave, he hasn't watched Fox Sports 1. He doesn't even know that Fox Sports 1 exists. Fox Sports 1, channel 375 on his RCN cable. You kidding me? I don't even know if that's the HD of that, but regardless.
Hey, now I'll know when Dad asks me what channel it's on. I'll say 375.
You can try 375, Dad. You've never pressed three numbers, to watch to watch television. This is the world that we live in. And TV ratings last night, you know, were huge for Fox Sports 1 because no one ever watches Fox Sports 1, except for my guy Nick Wright, who's doing a great job.
College football, they have some big games there.
Cubs win over the Giants last night, 5.7 million viewers, second most watched broadcast in the network's 3-year history.
Do you think these network executives want the Cubs to keep winning?
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers and the Nationals, which were rained out today, Cubs had 5.7. Now, mm-hmm. That was at night. More people are watching TV at night. But how many viewers do you think the Dodgers and Nationals had?
3.8.
2.2.
How can it? Well, it's during the day, but still, Los Angeles.
3 times as many listeners, my friend.
Los Angeles.
Viewers.
You know, if you get Chicago, Los Angeles, in the Cubs and the Dodgers in the NLCS, that's a network executive's dream.
Right, but the point being that, and everybody should know this, the Cubs are by far the biggest, most popular team in baseball, and it's not close.
Not close.
It's you can throw all your Atlanta Braves out there when they're superstars. It's a joke.
The Giants fans are cheering for the Giants, and everybody else in the world is cheering for the Cubs. That's what's going on.
And White Sox fans who are cheering for the Giants.
Well, I saw a White Sox fan today who told me he was rooting for the Cubs. And I had a Cardinal fan friend text me last night that he was rooting for the Cubs.
See, that's their way of being nice and mitigating how much, you know, the disaster that's about to happen. Which is cool that you allow them on, but I don't believe they're really rooting for him. I really don't. Deep down in that stomach, no chance.
I think if you're a Cubs fan and you ignored the White Sox in 2005, you missed out on an awesome, awesome time.
I don't feel like I missed out. 720 WGN. Winos!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The Beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
720 WGN, about to talk to Joel Murray. There are a couple changes, though, in the Giants lineup we should mention to you.
Yeah, Denard Span is back in center field where he usually is. He'll bat leadoff for the Giants. One less Gorkys to worry about if you're a Cubs fan. And then Joe Panik returns to second base, although that guy, Kelby Tomlinson, made a couple of terrific plays at second last night for San Fran.
He really did. Light hitting, but saved a run off of hot shot from Ben Zobrist and no surprise, Denard Span. He's the normal leadoff guy, but they are going lefty-righty in center field at the top of the lineup. You saw him at Second City where he starred. He's the 9th out of 9 in an incredible family. You've watched Shameless, Mad Men. He's also going to be doing incredible work on Killing Reagan on the National Geographic Network, which is next Sunday. You can watch that October the 16th. Joel Murray.
Hey, good to be here.
Good to have you.
I'm in San Francisco.
Now, is that by accident, Joel? I mean, are you feeling lost to not be closer to the Cubs?
Well, it's by inconvenience. I mean, I travel around. I do a live Whose Line Is It Anyway show, Who's Live Anyway, with Ryan Stiles and Greg Proops, who says hello, by the way, Harry. Jeff Davis and Bob Derkesh on the piano. But yeah, I guess it's a method. I'm going to miss the first round, but I'm going to visit in the meantime Los Angeles, Chicago, Washington, D.C., San Francisco, and that's everybody in the National League playoffs.
That's awesome.
Oh, and I'm going to New York next Thursday, but they're no longer in it. But they were.
You couldn't have planned it any better. Yeah, Greg Proops and I got to go to a Cubs game when he was in town years ago. You know, Joel, you're...
He said he sat in the magical seat of your uncle, the one with the center bar cutout, so you could just get flesh and flesh with Harry. It was a fabulous opportunity I had myself.
Yeah, John McDonough will back me up on this. Joel, my uncle, God rest his soul, was 6'4", 550 pounds. And I've always been, you know, so unaware, oblivious of, like, what's happening around me. When I was a kid, I would shake my head and go, how did my Uncle Howard ever get to be 6'4"? But they took the bar out between two of the four seats, and so we called it the love seat. When Uncle Howard was there, he would take up both seats, and when he wasn't, you'd be up close and personal. So, Joel, we know you're a diehard Cubs fan. We've seen you. You sing Take Me Out to the Ballgame every year. I love the Cub pants you were wearing when the Cubs were winning in L.A. What is the mood like right now in San Francisco after their Giants lost game one of the NLDS?
Oh, I'm catching a lot of grief. I'm walking around with a Cubs hat on, and I've got the new pinstripe Bill Murray shirt, the William Murray golf shirt. So, yeah, I'm catching grief, but I just keep walking around smiling at people and say, you know, you got to have an opponent, otherwise it's masturbation, right, folks? And
well said.
Don't quite grasp that. But, no, it's a big baseball town. I've always said it. I was here years ago shooting a commercial, and I remember it was, you know, guys with transistor radios sitting next to Dirty Harry-looking cars. And, you know, they're really into their team. And I'm asking for it with my outfit, I must say.
So when you're watching the game, Joel, and you're seeing your brother Bill on TV, like, more than the Cubs are on TV, what's the reaction there? Look, are you you feel like lockstep with him, or are you like kind of I don't know, embarrassed by his like zealous fandom? Where does that come out?
Well, I'm excited he's there because, you know, I go back, you know, when he was doing the Life Aquatic. He was supposed to come back and sing the stretch, and they didn't get him out in time out of Italy, and he didn't make the game. So instead they had Bernie Mac, lifetime White Sox fan, saying, take me out to the ballgame.
Oh.
He started out by going, let's hear for the champions. Let's hear for the champions. Let's hear for the champions. And the whole stadium turned to each other and goes, did he just jinx the crap out of this thing or what? And, you know, right after that, our A-Rod, you know, botched a double play ball and then the Bartman thing, and it kind of went to heck from then on. But
I didn't know that part of the story. That makes it hurt more.
Yeah, so I'm glad he's in the ballpark and he's on board and he's not holding out for, you know, second round like I am.
Joel, you know, Mark and I were talking earlier.
Also, the other thing is I'm always looking to see who he's with, to see who got, you know, I could have been sitting there. Anyway.
Well, you brought your nephew. I mean, you can't fault him for taking his son.
Yeah, he took his son Luke, who's a big fan too. Yeah,
so,
and a coach at Xavier.
And I've seen the Xavier hat. Your brother sports it sometimes. So, Joel, you have been. Mark and I were talking earlier on the show today that the Cub fan base is unbelievable. The way they travel with the team. I've seen you in Los Angeles at Chavez Ravine when you and Garland are, you know, leading all the W flags after the victory. What can you give us a perspective for the fans, for people that don't know what it's like to be on the road with the Cubs? What kind of fan base is this that travels so strong?
Well, I was down there in Atlanta shooting Killing Reagan, and I would say it was about 75% Cub fans. It was insane how blue it was. And, you know, the fact that they were getting rid of a stadium that was built in 1995 was kind of shocking, too. But that was phenomenal, the outpouring, you know, how many Cub fans were there. I was down in San Diego and got to watch a couple games there, and that was about 70% as well. You know, it's a crazy, you know, you can't give it to WGN anymore for, you know, getting people in to be Cub fans. They're not airing the games anymore. That was a bad decision on their part, I would guess. But it's really, everybody just sees how fun this team is, and there's more room on the bandwagon, believe me.
So who gets credit in the Murray family for developing this baseball love? I mean, you obviously have it. We see it with your brother. Is that dad? Is that mom? Is there a grandfather? Who gets the credit?
Well, you know, some of that would be WGN. My oldest brother, Ed, was an Andy Frayne at Comiskey. He's the only brother that's or only family member that's a Sox fan. But, you know, he used to go to the games all the time to work. And I think he got a few games at Wrigley, but he was generally a Southside guy. You know, the St. Joe's Choir, they would bring you out and indoctrinate you in the third grade. And I think that was one of my first games. My sister Laura, actually, before that, took me out to the bleachers many times. So it's like religion, you know. You just brought into it. You had no choice. It was just thrown upon you, and you learned to figure out the ways of your, you know, your people. it's real hip to be an atheist out in L.A. now. You know, there's a lot of atheists. And I say to them, yeah, but that's like not even like in baseball. You don't even have a team. And they don't go too far on that argument. But anyway.
Especially with Vin Scully leaving. They're all atheists or agnostics. Yeah. So can you believe we live in a world where not only do the Cubs have John Lester and Jake Arrieta, but Kyle Hendricks has blossomed into an unbelievable pitcher. What your thoughts on the Cubs starter tonight?
I'm looking to see the professor really just pitch a gem tonight. He's been hitting his spots all season long. He's, you know, he's our little Maddox. And I think he, you know, if he keeps going at this rate, he's going to be every bit as good. And there'll be a flag, you know, pole with his name on it somewhere, numbers sometime. I'm hoping he has a great game. I'm hoping our bats come out early today and just, you know, really get him depressed early on. And we get all over Samardzija, like the ex-White Sox that he is. But, you know, I liked him when he was at Notre Dame. I liked him when he was at the Cubs. But I've given up on it.
I hopefully this regime, if he does actually turn into even, I'll say a half of Greg Maddux, they won't let him get out the door like the former regime did back in.
It bothers you, Mark, that people compare Hendricks to Greg
Maddux. I just think it's putting a lot on him. And you're talking about, I mean, Greg Maddux won 350 baseball
games.
Right,
but I think they're not saying he's a 300-game winner. I think Joel and other people are just saying that he's cerebral in his approach. He's not just roaring back and throwing it. He's a pitcher.
Right, but Greg Maddux, while he was being cerebral, threw the ball 95. And Kyle Hendricks is an 88, 89. And I'm not taking anything away from him. The ERA champion, and I hope he pitches great tonight. I think he's going to have a very, very solid career. But when everyone's saying Maddux, this is not about you, Joel, by the way. This is about just my own neurosis here. It just makes me...
Yeah, you've obviously been talking about this. Well, he's 88, but that's an Ivy League 88, so that gets rounded up. You know,
that's true.
He's like in AP classes, so that's graded on a 5 scale and not a 4, so it's different.
I just want to give you and your family credit here, Joel. I was fortunate enough to be in the section last night where your brother was, and he was coming down in the middle of the game. There was an open seat. He sat down in that seat. He waited for play to stop, and then he moved into the row to not interrupt any fans who were paying attention to the game. It was very respectful. A lot of people don't do that. Bill did it. I'm sure that you've learned this as well, and whoever gets credit for that, I'd just like to thank the Murray family.
Well, we might have been, you know, we send thank you notes. We might have been brought up right. But, you know, Bill's a class act. When we were watching the Ryder Cup, and, you know, there was a couple of times when I know in particular Rory McIlroy missed a putt, and you saw all the Americans cheering, and they cut to Bill, and he just kind of, you know, silently nodded. And he didn't cheer or anything for the missed putt. He just, like a golf fan, we know the rules of golf from caddying and respect for the other team kind of thing. So, he's amazing. Like when we were down in Atlanta, he signed thousands of autographs, and they had it to a point where there was a line of people that, and he wouldn't sign them during the inning, but between innings, this line would appear again, and he signed all of them, and he was really great about it. And he's a different entity. I'm so glad my career is mediocre and I don't have to deal with what he does.
Stop it. Stop it. We are a big star at Second City for a long time, and we're going to talk to you about killing Reagan before we let you go. But Mark touches on something. You know, the Blackhawks, the Ushers have the stop sign. They literally don't let you go during play. you know, I have heard from fans all over the country, I see you Cub fans on TV, I've been in Wrigley Field, all you guys do is drink and you don't know what's happening in the game. Just because guys are drinking doesn't mean they can't tell you, you know, what Dexter Fowler did in the first inning or what Javi Baez did in the fourth inning. It's sort of like an unfair generalization that Cub fans, you've been to a ton of stadiums, Cub fans aren't the only baseball fans in America that enjoy a cold one.
Yeah, and, you know, we can multitask as well. I can drink and fill out a program and tell you, you know, when Dexter Fowler gets on and at the top of the inning, how often we score and then win the game and things like that. Chicago fans are great fans. You know, anybody that's going to go there is a moron, maybe from Los Angeles or somewhere else. But they're great fans. They're well, you know, they've got great knowledge of the game. They watch the game. They're not hitting the head with a, you know, foul ball because they're texting or looking at something else. You know, I don't know. I think they're the best fans around.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, they are. And we are. And I love the Cub pants. Those are just awesome when you wear those. Next Sunday night.
I'm going tonight. Actually, my friend Larry Jackson, who's one of the owners of Loudmouth Golf, is coming to our Who's Live show here in San Francisco. And the game should end just about at the moment we go on stage. So we probably get it all in before we have to go out. Well, last night it was half and half. But Larry Jackson sets me up with a lot of that Loudmouth stuff, and he's a great guy and very generous to our Caddyshack tournament down in Florida every year.
That's great. I've heard that's a wonderful tournament. So tell us about next Sunday night. We get to see the premiere on National Geographic Channel. It's Tim Matheson, Cynthia Nixon, of course, from Sex and the City, and you starring in Killing Reagan. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I play Ed Meese.
Cool.
You know, wow, to see yourself as Ed Meese. You know, I always kind of picture myself as 28 and good looking, but you know, I looked like Ed Meese. And another local guy, Kyle Moore, plays Hinckley, and he's creepy good in it. But it's from Bill O'Reilly's book, and it takes it from both sides, from Hinckley's world and Reagan's world, until they meet up with a gunshot. And I just saw it the other night. I went to Washington, D.C. for the premiere, and I texted Obama. I said, the wife and I are in town. You know, hit me up if you and the missus want to meet us for a drink. And sure enough, right, they had to hold the premiere because they said the presidential motorcade had just gone by. And I said, oh, my God, he came by. But he was apparently headed somewhere else.
Wait, I feel like you actually did text Obama. I feel like that happened. That's really...
I did. I did that.
That's amazing.
Well, and then I met some of his people there, actually, and they said, yeah, he doesn't really text. That's not the president's job. He has people that do that. But, oh, well. Yeah, it came out really great. I was surprised. Rod Lurie, I wasn't surprised, but I was pleasantly relieved. Rod Lurie, the director, who's done some great stuff, The Contender and the different films, but he did a really neat job with it. So it doesn't look like a cheesy movie of the week recreation. It looks like a really nice film. And, you know, I'm playing Meese, so I'm kind of a frumpy lawyer. So it's not, I don't steal the show.
Yeah, boy, even if you're a great actor, I don't know how I'd feel if my agent called me and said, hey, we think you'd be perfect to play Hinckley. You know, you came to mind right away. We will watch for that next Sunday on the National Geographic Channel, Killing Reagan. Joel Murray, a diehard Cubs fan, and it's amazing just how awesome this season has been. Hopefully it will continue on. Enjoy yourself in San Francisco, Joel.
Well, I'm looking forward to come back. You know, I've hosted Theo's Hot Stove Cool Music thing at the Metro for 5 years. I do a golf tournament up in Wilmette at the Canal Shores with the Ricketts. And I'm actually sort of friends with Joe Madden because my son bartends across the street from where he lives. But, you know, I'm finally hooked up for tickets, and here I am in San Francisco. I'm like, ah. So.
Well, get back for the.
Harry Carey's the other morning hanging with Dutchie, with Harry's widow. I thought that was a riot to be in a bar at 5:30 in the morning hanging with Harry's widow.
Dutchie's so, the best.
I don't know.
Dutchie is class personified.
And Joel, you scheduled this well. You prioritize the NLCS and the World Series, and you'll be here. So it's okay. Thanks for jumping on, Joel Murray. We appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Last year we were lucky. The Who's Live was in Chicago. We got to go to both Cardinals games. So this year the schedule is a little off, but next round.
Yep. Thanks, Joel.
Let's get it done and let's get some runs.
Hi. Yeah, baby.
Joel Murray.
Thanks, Joel.
For taking time with us. Kelly Reagan next Sunday, October the 16th on the National Geographic Network. We are behind here. So let's take a quick time out, and we'll update you on all the news coming out of the park. Lineups are out. Maybe we'll check in at Wrigley. Jeff Passan with us from Yahoo Sports does a great job covering all of MLB, covering this series right after 6 o'clock. With you till 6:30, 720 WGN. It's always good to look up in the sports office and see Joe Brand just getting ready for Blackhawks hockey.
Any relation to Elton?
Not related to Elton, but he is the voice of your Kane County Cougars and fill in a WGN and is on the winter months. What a stud.
You know, Wilson Contreras was recently a Kane County Cougar.
That's a great little segue into Wilson Contreras batting eighth tonight. Should be batting fifth or sixth. Jason Hayward should be batting eighth, but who's to quibble with Joe Maddon? I'm Mark Harmon, your Harry Tynowitz. This is The Beat, 720 WGN. With you till 6:30 when Blackhawks hockey will take over. Judd Surratt, John and Troy, all ready to go for us little Hawks and Blues. Hey, real quick before we get back to the baseball, just around the Big Ten, BYU rolling over Michigan State in East Lansing, 24-7.
It's been an awful time for Michigan State football. Rutgers just beat them. And Wisconsin rolled them at Spartan Stadium.
So that's still a stunner.
And Northwestern, by the way, on WGN next Saturday, plays at Michigan State.
And off today, the Wildcats. So Dave Ennett is, I hear he's on a nude beach in Mexico. But I wasn't supposed to say that, but I just did.
And Donald Trump's going to try to build a wall around him.
It's been quite a couple days for the Don. Hey, Iowa, my alma mater, who Northwestern just beat, they bounced back going into Minnesota, beating the Golden Gophers 14-7.
Big win for them because that's a Western Division team.
Yep. Illinois, they were trailing early to Purdue. They were down at the half 21-16. But now the Illini on top of the Boilers 31-24. Lovey Dovey looking for his first Big Ten win. The Illini trying to improve to 2-3.
There's a lot of Illini. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sure, there's a lot of the Illini fans hoping they can increase that score.
12:34 to go in the fourth quarter there.
A lot of time to cover. To increase the lead.
And I guess it's worth noting that Notre Dame scored 3 points today and lost to the Wolfpack of North Carolina State. 10-3. The Irish are 2-4. And Brian Kelly, outside of having a kid on a platform, on a scissor with 60 miles an hour winds that cost him his life, outside of the sexual assault misconduct
that got buried,
outside of those things, which are 7 million times more important, he is presiding over more four-loss seasons than Jerry Faust, than Ty Willingham, than, go down the list, Bob Davey. Bye. And he should have been gone a long time ago for what went on off the field there. Just absolutely, I'm sorry. You have a kid up on a lift and he loses his life
in horrible weather.
How does he keep his job after that? Are you kidding me?
He can't fire the defensive coordinator this week. He's already done that. NC State won that game on a blocked punt return for touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So, at any rate, I just...
Bears.
Okay, since you mentioned it, Bears and Colts, would you like to apologize to me, WGN listeners, for your incredibly off-point remarks last Saturday defending Jay Cutler as the hero of Beardom, and then Brian Hoyer went out again.
Mark, I said was that for you to think the Bears had a better chance of winning with Hoyer under center than Cutler was wrong. Brian Hoyer played the Detroit Lions defense without their best pass rusher, without their best linebacker. I mean, you could have thrown him for 200. Look, Hoyer is a really nice backup quarterback, and
all last year for the Texans, but okay, go ahead.
Jay Cutler, if healthy, should start over Brian Hoyer.
Do you know, do you follow me on Twitter at the Carm?
I do follow you, and everybody should.
Thank
at you. The Carm.
Thank you. Next person that follows me.
Yes? What do they get?
so much admiration from me. I mean, just massive admiration. And we, I'll give you some love right now if you follow me.
Okay, next person that follows Mark gets your Twitter mentioned.
At the Carm. I'm watching 7,114. A rare opportunity to become the 7,115th follower. I mean, that's if things you can accomplish on your day, right? I mean, that's
if you take out the one, take out one of the ones, 715 was Hank Aaron's magic number.
And there you go. So I just put it out there earlier this week. Brian Hoyer, in the last two games, has thrown for over 300 yards with two touchdowns and no interceptions, back-to-back weeks. Jay Cutler has done that twice in his career. Just want that on the record, Harry.
Okay, but again, it's out of context because Dallas was up 21-0. What was it, 17-0 or 21-0? The defense was playing in a very relaxed zone. Brian Hoyer was given so many short completions.
How many wins do the Bears have this year?
They have one win.
Who was the quarterback when they won?
They played the Lions, Mark.
I understand. But
Where'd you go to high school?
Harry, Highland Park High School.
Oh, the Giants. Highland Park High School might have a shot at knocking off the Lions.
Let me ask you this. Next year, Jay Cutler is set to make $17 million.
Yeah, they can get rid of him for a song. He won't be here next year.
Okay, so you're on board with that?
Yes.
Okay, so then what's the
point? Of course I am.
Okay, so what's the point of him playing if you're getting rid of him?
Because you got a better chance to win.
You're not trying to win. You want low draft picks. I can argue that way. I can argue that side, too.
There's a part of me that feels that way. Okay. Full disclosure, part of me that feels that way.
Okay. Okay, so we're on board here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I feel better.
Noon kickoff tomorrow.
Noon kickoff tomorrow.
The Beloved and the Colts.
And listen, they got a shot to win tomorrow. Indianapolis is terrible.
Another bad defense.
Yeah, and you got Jacksonville after that, so they could be 3-3. You don't think so?
No, I mean, it's just sad. You know, I mean, I can't believe this is where the Bears are at, that we're hoping they could be 3-3 before they get decimated. Because I know what follows that is at Green Bay and the Vikings.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to MT Clough for following me, along with Garrett Ghani and Egg.
You need a kicker for the Carolina Panthers?
Jackie, I see you. Tony Scott's on board with At the Carm. Wheaton North Tennis is on board with At the Carm.
Wheaton North Tennis. Mark loves you.
I want to be an assistant coach for you guys. Tennis is my favorite sport that I never talk about on the air because nobody cares about it except for cool people like me.
You could have just ended that sentence that nobody cares about it.
Michael Hanch, you're the man. Look at these guys. Tommy O'Neill's on board. I love Tommy O'Neill. Matt Bubala finally followed me.
Hey! Bubala!
Matt Bubala. Following you back. Bubala does a great job. Brady, Nicholas.
Tom Brady.
Daydream Kid, Elvin Perez, all on board with At the Carm.
I'm at Hey Tweet Harry.
Yeah, see? There's a strategy there. Hey, you know who we want to give love to?
Who that?
His name is Javi Baez. We're going to do that coming back here. And one of the Cubs, speaking about his Javi experience and how Javi has grown, It's nice. It's beautiful. It's sentimental. It's all about coming together as one Cub team, one Cub, just blob of excellence.
Blob of excellence.
You like that?
Yeah. Isn't that Chris Christie's bumper sticker?
I was reaching there, but yeah. Okay. Quick timeout. 720 WGN. The great Joe Brand up in sports, alerting us, Harry, that other Kane County Cougars include Albert Elmora.
That's awesome.
Rob Zastrzyzny, who's one of my favorites. I interviewed him. Great guy. Felix Pena, Kyle Schwarber. Ricky Renteria, now the manager of Chicago White Sox, a former Kane County Cougar. Before we get to Javi Baez, what did you think of that hire?
Rick Renteria, I'm surprised that they went right away. I feel like there's going to be some managerial movement.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
And I don't know how you don't talk to like a couple other guys that are bench coaches right now. One of them is in San Francisco's dugout.
What about
one of them is in the Cubs dugout?
What about a Ron Gardenhire? Wouldn't you want to talk to a Ron Gardenhire?
You could hire a Ron Gardenhire.
You could hire a Ron Gardenhire.
Right. So. Dave Righetti would make an excellent manager. Davey Martinez would make an excellent manager. Sandy Alomar Jr. would make an excellent manager.
Rick Renteria inspires Rick Renteria's family?
They like him. They say he's a great guy. They like the fact that he's,
beat me up. I don't know why I'm talking about the White Sox and Rick Renteria right now. That's just off. But I blame Brand up there with his Rick Renteria and his Kane County Cougar stuff. All right. Hey, Chris Bryant after the game last night. Young guy, right?
Yeah.
Here's this hobby bias. Chris Bryant, like, always does things kind of the right way. Hobby bias a little more flair. And by a little, I mean, I guess, a ton more. So how does a guy like Bryant look at Javi? Here we go.
Yeah, his at-bats were impressive today. Taking some borderline pitches. He's kind of the X factor. I mean, there's a lot of good players on this team. And just to look at his progression of, when he first got called up to last year to this year, it's night and day, and it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm so happy for him.
So he called him the X factor. And in another cut, he talks about how he's not going to play like Javi as far as the flair goes, but he likes watching a guy who just, likes to show everybody how cool he is out there, which sometimes I personally have a reaction to. Like that ground ball to second last night.
Yeah.
He stayed back on it, stayed back on it, stayed back on. He got Hunter Pence by a nail. And I'm
like, he got him.
But he got him.
He might be the single best infielder at applying the tag.
He's unbelievable with the tag.
I mean, he throws. The ball gets thrown to him, whether it's outfielder, third baseman, catcher, and he will catch and drop and tag in one motion. He is the tag master.
He's got an MLB tattoo on his neck,
directly above where the MLB tattoo on the uniform goes.
Right, that's where he puts his MLB tattoo.
It's so cool, and I believe his first game in 2014, he homered. In his very first game. Now, Wilson Contreras homered on his first pitch. How cool is that? But Javi Baez homered in his first, his first game, and he can play any position.
And if you remember, we're going to have Jeff Passan on right after 6 o'clock, who wrote a great piece on Javi Baez. Check it out, Yahoo Sports. If you remember, when Javi came up, the big thing was that he wasn't a Theo guy, that he was a free swinger.
Right, Jim Hendry drafted him.
Right. But remember also, too, he was a number 9 overall pick who was looked upon as a huge stud. But yes, he wasn't drafted by the Theo regime, and people thought that he would be one of the first guys traded as the Cubs reposition themselves with guys that are more quote-unquote Cub-like, Theo-like. But they have held on to Javi. And
why wouldn't you?
And why wouldn't you, right? But, I mean, remember, he had an on-base percentage this year of .310, which is not good.
I'm telling you, we had Danny Plesac on earlier in the show, and how much fun is this being on the air with you on 720 WGN? Danny Plesac, we asked him, said, what if Javi Baez played 75 games at second and 75 games at third? Could he win 2 gold gloves in one season? He said, yes.
He might be able to. And so he is just that talented. And there's a lot in Passan's piece about how, Javi wants to be an everyday guy. But for this team, with the amount of talent that they have, he helps the team the most by being able to play second, being able to play third, being able to play short. He's played first. He could play the outfield.
I would have him in the lineup every day. But you certainly, if you bring him off the bench, you could bring him in as a defensive replacement. By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. I was kind of surprised it left Zobrist in there in the ninth defensively.
I was too. If you're going to have Albert Almora on the team,
put him in
for defense. And Zobrist did okay in left last night, but he had the line drive.
Oh, that was not good.
Right. He started in, stopped, then came in, then the ball gets by him. If anybody but Buster Posey, who's slower than you.
I doubt that. Maybe with math. But if Buster Posey doesn't forget that there's two outs, Giants are up 1-0. That wasn't about Buster Posey being slow. That was about Buster Posey forgetting that there's two outs, and he's one of the smartest players in all of baseball. Calls a great game. There's so many things, but Buster Posey forgot there were two outs. He should have been going all the way on that.
He did stop and start on his way to second base. You're right. I didn't even think about that, Harry. Great, very, very, very good point. And I was
more than just a Jew on a couch.
Yeah. That's uncomfortable, but accurate on both sides of this. At times, you are just a Jewish man on a couch, as you so eloquently put it. And right now, you're more than that, right? So I'm sitting there watching Posey run, and I'm watching the ball head towards the ivy, and it's like we're gonna survive this, but we shouldn't survive this. I mean, you play that ball 99 times out of 100 like the way Zobrist did. Somebody who's ever on first base is scoring. Cubs right. got lucky.
And Zobrist usually plays second. He's played a lot of right field. Left field is considered to be the easiest position in baseball, but if you don't play there, you know, a hell of a lot, it's not that easy.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because you could play Zobrist at second, you could play Javi at third, and you could play Bryant in left.
But with Lester, there's a ton of ground balls, ton of action at second. Second is much more important than third.
But he's got him there again tonight with Hendricks. Ben Zobrist did not look great in left field last night. Not just that play. There were other plays where balls hit in the air. He did not look super sure of himself. He hasn't played it a ton. He's played more right field this year, which... just for everyone to know, that makes a huge difference. The ball comes off the bat a lot different.
Right, but with his lumber, he deserves to be in the lineup.
Sure, of
and
course.
And tonight especially you need Hayward because it's a right-handed starting pitcher. So, you know, when you get to Mad Bum in Game 3, then maybe Hayward doesn't play. Then you have Zobrist in right. But we both agree that if you have a lead going into the ninth inning, depending on where you are in the batting order, if you have a lead in the eighth inning, you send Alberto Amora Jr. into left field for Zobrist.
Yep. Yeah, you absolutely do. I want to play one Baez cut just about his...
Okay.
So before he hits the home run last night, he actually was thinking about just getting on base and actually bunting. So this was Javi after the game.
I was just trying to get on base. We won out, obviously. I was thinking about bunting and the third baseman was playing in. So I knew Cueto was pitching me inside all day, just waiting for him to make a mistake, and he finally did.
It was one of the best at-bats that I've ever seen. He was very patient. He worked the count to 3-2. There were strikes in the zone where he just kind of nodded. Okay, I see you. He fouled off at least one pitch, and then he got the Javi Baez, I can crank this ball, and he unloaded on it. Into the wind in the eighth inning of a tie game when they absolutely needed it. I mean, it was a tie game
won in the NLDS.
It was something, man.
It was something. Now you got me thinking about like the greatest at bat I ever saw.
Think about it. You have all the news to come up with that.
What was Joey Cora's little brother's name?
Joey Cora's little brother's name. Alex Cora?
Alex Cora. He had an at-bat against the Cubs. It was like 14 or 15 pitches. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't... He didn't... You know, I feel like it's... I'm not saying it was the greatest at-bat of all time, and I'm being a little hyperbolic even calling it the best, but I was so keyed into watching him on this at-bat, and the way he was acting, I turned to the guy who was sitting next to him, like, this dude's about to hit a home run. Now, I've probably said that 100 times in my life and been wrong, but you could just see how locked in he was. And he ended up doing it. It was unbelievable.
He's a tremendous player, and that's what great teams do on their way to a championship, is
right.
There's a different hero every night.
Yep. Who's going to be the hero tonight? You want to think about that?
Wilson. I'll think about it. I'll tease it.
Okay. All right. Hey, Jeff Passan, Yahoo Sports, does a great job covering the game of baseball and has some great stuff on Javi. He was provided Javi access on the field after the game, like 45 minutes after Javi had spoken to the media. He came back out, and him and Passan just cuddled and talked baseball. So we'll find out what he learned.
You a big cuddler, Mark?
I'd like cuddling, Harry. Yes, absolutely. 720, you have thoughts on that? You want to cuddle with me?
I like spooning cuddling?
Sure, spooning is good. 720 WGN.
A biggest difference, I think, is... A, confidence. Confidence does some really incredible things for all of us and an athlete. As a pitcher, I think he has the confidence to throw any pitch he wants in any count, any direction. With that comes the execution of the pitches. With that also, I think the addition of more apt to throw his curveball for a strike when he wants to. And then the four-seam fastball. All these things are like the new things this year with him.
That's the great Joe Maddon. Your Cubs manager talking about Kyle Hendricks, your National League ERA leader, which is still a stat that matters no matter what Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports tells us in a matter of moments here. I'm Mark Harmon, you're Harry Tynowitz, with you till the bottom of the hour in advance of Blackhawks hockey. Jeff Passan, does ERA matter, Jeff Passan, before we get to your phenomenal piece on Javi Baez and how you guys bonded on the field after all the media was gone and you guys looked into each other's eyes?
It was a sweet moment. yes, ERA very much matters. ERA is like maybe the only home runs too, but ERA especially, I think, is an old school stat that that actually holds up.
Thanks.
And I definitely weigh ERA. I do think That being said, I do think that Cubs pitchers' ERAs this year are a lot better than what they would be if they were playing in front of seven other players and with a different catcher, because their defense is pretty spectacular.
And,
but ERA still does say quite a bit, I think.
And Jeff, his ERA at home is nearly a run lower than his ERA. 1.32 is a microscopic ERA. So you're on board with Madden saving Arrieta for Game 3 for the professor tonight.
Yeah, I don't mind Madden saving Arrieta for Game 3, even if Kyle Hendricks' ERA isn't like that, because it gives Jake Arrieta some downtime after a long season. Jake Arrieta was not as good as Kyle Hendricks this year. It's as simple as that. And I don't know if it is because his workload last year taxed him excessively. I don't know if it's because there's some lingering injuries. I don't know what the case is. But Kyle Hendricks has been a better pitcher this year than Jake Arrieta. And especially now that they know they have the luxury of a 1-0 lead in the series, they don't need a guy who can go out there and throw the 9 innings that you expect out of Arrieta sometimes, whereas Hendricks is probably more of a 7-inning guy.
Jeff Passan is a Major League Baseball columnist for Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Passan. He has 164,000 followers, which is more than at the Carm 7,000, but that's not important. Also, he's also the author of The Arm, which is his most recent outstanding production. It's a great book. If you ever want to know, if you're a father out there who wants to have your kid or whoever throwing the baseball, it's a book that you absolutely should read. Hey, Passan, so let's get to this moment with Javi Baez on the field last night. And I know that you were super interested in the postgame when he was talking to everybody. I mean, Baez mentioned that he was thinking about dropping a bunt down. And here's a guy that was once in favor and then out of favor with the Cubs organization. People thought he'd be dealt because he wasn't a quote-unquote Theo guy. And now he's a huge part of this team.
Yeah, I think he embodies the Joe Madden era in Chicago about as well as anyone. You can say that, once Madden came, Jake Arrieta really turned into who he is, but we had seen flashes of that beforehand. I think with Baez, he is so good with the glove in particular. We all want to celebrate his home run, as people should, but he is so good with the glove that he allows Joe Madden to mix and match lineups like he wouldn't be able to otherwise. Ben Zobrist is 35, 36 years old. He doesn't have quite the positional flexibility that he used to when he could play center field and shortstop and third and second in the corner outfield as well. But Javi Baez is that guy now. He's 23. He is super athletic. He is so good, whether it is his arm, his glove, his tag. He just does everything well on the defensive end. And when you can add a guy who has 30 home run potential on top of that because of the bat speed, I mean, we're not talking about a good player there. We're talking about an MVP candidate potentially. And when you add something like that into a lineup that already has, arguably the NL MVP this year, or rather inarguably the NL MVP this year in Chris Bryant, the guy in Anthony Rizzo who could be in any particular year, and guys like Kyle Schwarber and Addison Russell who are going to get MVP votes for a long time, and you could say maybe Wilson Contreras the same. I mean, that is frightening. That is six stars right there. And if you have a team with two or three, you're a World Series contender.
Jeff, Javi Baez is so great defensively. He does have the potential, I agree, to hit 30 home runs. But for people that say he shouldn't be playing every day, I think they're nuts. I think even though it'd be awesome to have this guy as a defensive replacement late, his bat, what he does in the field, he's got to start. He's got to play every game.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Maybe you give him a dozen games off a year, but he's a guy who should be in for 150 games every season. And this, mind you, this is if he continues to progress. There are still issues there. I mean, he had 400 plate appearances this year and walked 15 times.
Yep.
That's not acceptable. Now, his strikeouts were cut down, and I think a big part of that is how he took the giant stride that he had before and just replaced it. If you look at him, his swing, I mean, because he swings as hard as he does and because his wrists are as fast as they are, it looks like he's taking a monstrous swing. But if you just look at the pure mechanics of it all, I swear it's like Paul Molitor. Just very short, compact, and sweet.
Well, you
take a look at it.
You also
there is no leg kick at all. The only thing Baez does differently than Molitor is he curls his body back a little and he curls his bat over his shoulder a little more. But as far as the path of the swing, it is Molitor-esque.
Well, and Jeff's got a great piece out of Yahoo about Javi. You should read it, and I tweeted it, and it's I'm sure if you have any internet capabilities, you can figure it out. But you also referenced that some guys, I forget who, which one, whatever, doesn't matter, people were comparing Javi's swing to Gary Sheffield, which is a pretty large, large compliment.
Yeah, it was Dexter Fowler who said that. Okay. And, you know, I prefaced the question to him by saying I have heard for years from scouts that, you know, Javi Baez has one of the quickest bats they've ever seen. And he said, yeah, he's got Gary Sheffield's hands. And that's as high a compliment as one hitter can give to another, because Gary Sheffield hit 500-plus home runs because of the speed of his wrists. I mean, he just had an extremely quick bat. And you can make up for a lot of things with a quick bat. Now, the difference is that Gary Sheffield, if you go look at his strikeout totals, especially early in his career, it's staggering how little he struck out. I mean, he was one of those last few guys who walked a lot and really did not strike out much. Javi Baez does not have that blessing in his game. But if ever he can learn some plate discipline, and the Cubs do believe he is getting better at that, if ever he can even turn into a guy who takes 40 or 50 walks a year, I mean, it's scary to think what he can be.
In his first pitch he ever saw in the majors, Wilson Contreras homered. We're talking about how Javi Baez has improved and what he could become. The Cubs are going to start three catchers in the first three games, Jeff, which is kind of crazy for the playoffs. But what do you foresee in Wilson Contreras making his first playoff start tonight?
I mean, I think it's a luxury when you're batting a guy like Wilson Contreras, eighth. It just goes to show the depth of this Cubs lineup. And honestly, Jason Hayward should be batting eighth.
Thank you.
That's what Mark said.
Jason Hayward should be batting ninth, honestly.
Right. Mark said 11th.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I hate not to answer your Contreras question. Because I think the Hayward thing honestly is more pressing. My only question about the Cubs is, are they going to bench Jason Hayward at any point in the playoffs this year? Because they gave him 162 games this year, and he simply flat out did not hit. And so you're left with the question of, do you really, truly, deeply value his defense that much that you are potentially giving up 3 to 4 plate appearances a game from a guy? Do you not want to anger him because you have him under contract for so much longer? You know, are you afraid of hurting the feelings of people in the clubhouse who respect Jason Hayward, who love Jason Hayward, who think he's a fantastic teammate? There are a lot of different things in play here. But when it comes down to it, they're trying to win a World Series.
Thank you.
And you put your best players in the lineup, and I think there's a good argument to be made that someone who's sitting on the bench right now, whether it's Jorge Soler or Chris Coughlin, is a better player at this moment than Jason Hayward.
Right, and Jason Hayward can come in for defense in the seventh inning. Hopefully you have a lead. You can use him there. And, you know, I know that a lot of guys respect Jason Hayward, and he's got great respect for the game. But the bottom line, his at-bats last night were atrocious. Atrocious.
Yeah.
You know, first pitch, sinker, basically in the dirt, swinging, bad pop outs, bad. I just he doesn't look good. Can't sugarcoat at this point.
And Soler was so good when he got in the playoffs last year. I would certainly think against Mad Bum that Soler will get the start in game three.
One would hope, but you know, it's tough to question a 105 win team. It's tough to question Joe Maddon because he's done it. And I know that is, you know, maybe that's a fallacy where you're just allowing the authority to have the last word. But truth is, I think Joe Maddon even sees it at this point. And if he doesn't, then the Cubs are putting themselves at a disadvantage.
Jeff Passan, Yahoo Sports, with us for one more minute. He's at Wrigley Field. You can tell by the noise getting ready for the Cubs tonight, as it's game two, of course, with the Giants coming up at 7 o'clock. Hey, Passan, you were on board with the Cubs hiring Theo the day it happened, and I mean, obviously, he earned that, and pretty much everybody in baseball was. But I would think even somebody like yourself was like, the Cubs are going to be great, and it's going to be sooner than later, and it's going to be for a long time. You still got to be like, this guy is even more impressive than I thought he was. Because what they've built, you just referenced six impact guys. I mean, it's been unbelievable. Everything he said he was going to do, he did, and he did it like at a higher level than anyone expected.
Yeah, I expect them to build championship caliber teams. This is a dynasty caliber team. And they got some things to do, certainly. You know, John Lester's not getting any older. Jake Arrieta's going to, or not getting any younger, rather. Jake Arrieta's going to be a free agent. I mean, they're going to have to scrape and scrap to keep that pitching staff together, and they may have to go out and buy another pitcher. But the fact is, this lineup is going to be in place for another half decade, and God, is it a scary lineup.
Yeah, and they'll be able to pay the guys they want to keep. I mean, you're talking about the oodles of money coming the Cubs' way by 2020. Passon, you're the best. Thanks for jumping on.
Pleasure's all mine, Carm. Take it easy.
All right, Jeff Passon, Yahoo Sports, out at Wrigley Field. We do have to take a quick timeout. We'll wrap it up, get you set for Blackhawks hockey, which is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Judd Surratt with the pregame, 720 WGN. All right. 3 minutes and 45 seconds to go before we have to hand it off to Blackhawks hockey. Adam Hogan and I will be back after the game, thinking of you, Harry, tonight on our True Blue Cubs postgame show. Looking forward to hopefully talking about a win tonight. Lay it all out there, Harry. What's going to happen tonight? What are you worried about? What do you see coming forth starting at 7:08 or whatever it is?
Well, Kyle Hendricks is a different pitcher this year than he was last year. Last year, he had two playoff starts, and he didn't get past the fifth inning in either start. His ERA was almost six. He's a different pitcher this year, so I think he will succeed. The one guy on the Giants that's really rocked Kyle Hendricks is Brandon Belt. Belt 3-for-7 against him. So, like, the game plan for Contreras and, Kyle Hendricks tonight is, even though you're worried about Buster Posey and Hunter Pence, Brandon Crawford, do not let Brandon Belt beat you.
It's a fair one, all right? Pitch around Brandon Belt. I like it. One of my guys texted me, criticism of Hayward's at bat last night is foolish. Who looked good against Cueto other than Baez and Rizzo? The Cubs only had three hits, and that's a fair point.
Yeah.
There was a lot of guys who were struggling last night against Johnny Cueto. Maybe Jason Hayward will be better tonight against Jeff Samardzija. But let me just say this, and this is no disrespect to Jeff Samardzija, even though it's going to sound like it. If you can't hit Jeff Samardzija, you're not going to hit anybody else in the playoffs. If you have bad at-bats...
That kind of sounds like it's disrespecting.
Yeah, it kind of. I guess it is. Fine, it is. I expect the Cubs to have good at-bats against Samardzija. When they faced him earlier this year, they had him out of there after four innings.
They rocked him.
Yeah, he was at 100 pitches after four. This is not a guy that's going to reinvent himself and come in here and be Bob Feller in his prime. There's a reference for you. They should have very good at-bats against Samardzija.
Only opening day no-hitter. Right, but it is the Cubs, and it's the nature of the Cubs to have a guy that you just rocked, who was on your team for 6.5 years, to come back in the most important of... This is his first career playoff start. It'd be so Cub-like for Samardzija to pitch his greatest game ever.
It would be Cub-like, but this is new Cub. This is new Cub-like.
I'm in.
New Cub. Where are you watching tonight, Harry? Are you going to be on the couch with Reggie?
I will be in the recliner. But yeah, I'm going to be watching with Reggie, and he loves video games. I'm trying to turn him on to how great sports are. And he's more apt to like want to watch the commercials, but he notices stuff, and slowly but surely. You can't just make a kid a sports fan. So I'll be watching with Reg and Wendy, and hopefully we'll get a W tonight. And then I'll be listening to you and Hoagie after the game.
Well, feel free to call in, Harry. We will, we'd love to hear your post-game thoughts. I'm completely serious. I would love to hear from a Harry on his couch with Reggie and Wendy and whoever else comes over. What's for dinner? I want to know. I don't know why I want to know, but I do want to know. What's going to happen as you consume Cub baseball tonight? I don't want to know your life.
Well, I've already been my pizza idea was shot down. My KFC idea was shot down. I might just be going to the Billy Goat curse and grabbing a couple for the car.
Ooh. Love a double cheeseburger. A
lot of chocolate. Whatever happens, there'll be chocolate.
Do you go triple cheese or you go double cheese?
I go double cheese. Triple ketchup.
Triple ketchup, double cheese. Like it. Hey, thanks to Dan Long for producing. Thanks to Jeff Passon. Thanks to Dan Plesak. Thanks to Joel Murray. Thank you to you. A lot of fun today getting you set up for the Cubby tonight. And, of course, Blackhawk hockey coming up in 10 seconds. Let's hope that later tonight we're talking about a 2-2 lead in the NLDS. Harry, great to be with you.
My pleasure. Loved it.
We'll see you after the game.